And so let's get to our interview. Again, I have Katie Bogalke. She's the director.
Yeah.
Executive director?
Interim executive director.
Okay, we're going to hire you in Community Resource and Vision Center and also the board member, trustee. I like to call them trustees because you're holding the trust of this organization in hand. And that's Becca Orchard. So welcome, both of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, you know, a lot of people don't know. So let's start with just a little history. We have new people, as we know, moving in all the time.
Absolutely.
And joining our radio station in the morning for the morning show more and more all the time. So we're going to talk about your upcoming events, which is probably the main reason you're here. But the Envision Center, the Community Resource Envision Center, is a vital, I'll use that word, I like that word, resource for our community, and it's still being found out what is it. So either one of you can talk about it. You're both holding it very sincerely. And so tell us about it and what your hopes are, where it's at now. It used to be Community Resource Center, and it was a lot of information. It's changed quite a bit.
Yeah, it has changed, and it is very similar. So I'm going to let Becca talk about it, because Becca's been here pretty much from the beginning and is our biggest champion. So take it away, Becca.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about our origin, because I was there from almost the very beginning. And then I'd like Katie to talk about the future, because I think the future is very bright and very exciting. I got involved in 2013, and the story that I like to tell, which is true, is about two men and a cell phone. We had two wonderful gentlemen who were trying to help a church member who happened to be a veteran, and he was struggling and needed some support. So they said, well, let's see what, we know about this place, so let's see if we can help you. And so they went about trying to put him in touch and connect him to the various resources that he might need. And what they discovered when they did that was that it wasn't that easy, that things were not easy to find, and there was a lot of running around and misguiding of people in terms of where to go. And it was very frustrating. So they thought, this isn't good. So let's see if we can do something about that. So they put their heads together, formed a 501c3, got a cell phone, carried around some information that they had acquired, and said, hey, look us up if you are struggling to find what you need. So that was started in about 2010, 2011. And so they were popping along, and they were helping maybe a dozen, 20 people, a year. And then they decided, maybe this isn't as sustainable as we'd like it to be. So they asked me to come in and help them with some strategic planning. So I worked with their board and took about 6 months to do that. And we came up with a plan. And then, so we just started marching to that plan. And one of the things that became very obvious very quickly was that we needed to find a way to find out more about what was available. And then how do we make this accessible to people? So we trained a lot of volunteers. We went out into the community and talked to all of the service providers, and we just became a fountain of information for the community. And then we went out and told people, call us, marketed, the opportunity to seek assistance through us. I really love this part of our story, is that I put an ad in a volunteer match program platform that goes nationally, and looking for a website person. So for all of those who might be listening who have needs in their nonprofit and are trying to find an inexpensive way to get things done, there are lots of people outside of our community who love to serve. And in the technology arena, so much is even more so now than it was then. So much is virtual, so you don't have to live here to serve here. So this woman, Renee is her name, lives in Kansas, and she said, I'd like to help you develop your website. And without even knowing it, she brought us so much capability, including taking our very kind of one-dimensional website, which was basically, here, tell us about, we'll tell you about us. She allowed us to take all of the information that we were acquiring about our community resources and put them in a way that is accessible, first for our volunteers who were answering calls of people who were needing help, but also to actually put it into the hands of the public. So right now you can go on our website and you can, let's say you have a housing need or a mental health need or childcare or transportation or whatever it might be. You can basically go into our self-help directory, and without talking to anybody, you could find at least a start on information about where to go. Now, of course, we prefer that you call us, because if you've done any of this kind of thing, you know that sometimes there's some scoop, you know, about how to do it more effectively and what works and what you need and save a few steps. So our staff can help you do that because they are, you know, they've got the inside scoop. So, of course, we'd love for people to call us and take advantage of the knowledge that we have. But if you're an online shopper and you want to just kind of check it out with, you know, in the privacy of your home, then you can do that too. So it
sounds like it's a two-way street. You have information, but you're also open to hearing from others. It's kind of a sharing platform.
Absolutely. And so we are only as strong as our partnerships with all of these service providers. So that is the really big part of what we're doing. So in order for us to help and connect and serve, we need to know who to help or who to connect with, and who those people are, what their phone numbers are, what the email is. Are these resources still viable? Has that person left? Has that service ended? And so when you support the Envision Center, we're really trying to like beef up the amount of people who are doing this work to like know the details, know who is who, what's what, and where those services are. And just building these relationships and these trusts with our nonprofit partners and optimizing those community resources.
Yeah, one of the things that we've learned in the process of doing the work is that you got to catch people where they are. So if we expect everybody to come to the Envision Center, that's naive. But we know that people land in different places. The food bank, their mental health counselor, their doctor, the library. They will surface wherever they live and wherever they go first. So what we want to do and have done over these years is try and put in the hands of those who are in those places to know or have access to the information. So you don't have to necessarily come to the Envision Center to be served by the Envision Center. We work through others who are actually on the front line providing the services. And that's a beautiful thing because we can reach so many more people. And so it
sounds like your website was the beginning of the mission to become, to have connectivity to our community in the small places and the large places. I love the word connectivity because it is like a web, but it strengthens, it can be very strong.
Absolutely.
Slowly but surely strengthen a community. And that's what you're all about, it sounds like.
Right. Absolutely.
And so the next logical step was, you know, we had these virtual connections, was to create this physical connection. And at first that was through meeting together, collaborating together. And we created in 2016, we created what we call SPIN, Service Provider Information Network, because we realized when we were out there talking to people that there wasn't a lot of cross-talking, people weren't talking to each other. And there was maybe sub-optimization of our resources, and there were gaps that we needed to fill. And so it's just common sense, right, that if you talk together, work together, you're going to do better, and you're going to be able to do more. So that was in 2016. We brought people together, and we just were overwhelmed by how much people love that idea and really got a lot out of that. And so then in 2019, along came this opportunity to become an Envision Center. And so that was a federal program started by Dr. Ben Carson during the Trump administration. And that was the concept there was to co-locate services so that to make it easier for people to access the resources and for people to benefit from that synergy that's created by actually sharing physical space. So I'm going to let Katie talk about what's happened as we've become an Envision Center in 2020.
Well, one of the things I want to point out before we hear from you, Katie, is it sounds like your website is part of that picture. And I just know that it's CRECIdaho.org.
Thank you for the reminder, Susie.
We're going to just send that out there every once in a while, CRECIdaho.org. And Katie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we'll get to your events. And one of the questions I have, well, we'll get to that question in a minute. But tell us what's
happening at the Envision Center.
Yeah.
So we have several tenants that are in the Envision Center sharing that space with us, the most recent being the Department of Labor. And it's phenomenal, the synergy that is happening in that space with them. We have Dog Smile Adventures there. They're another nonprofit. And we have NAMI Far North that is in that space. We also have the executive director collab meeting in the Envision Center once a month. And there is just a lot of synergistic talking, ideas, sharing, and then overlap with clients that is happening. And so we're thrilled that the space is being used. We also have a conference room that we'd love to share with anyone if they need space. And then most recently, when Sandpoint Marketing closed their doors, we acquired their podcast recording and video equipment. So that was a really big win for us because we had been using their services to help amplify the stories of nonprofits, much like you do here on this morning show. And, you know, it's just a great tool for us to be able to use to help be that supportive partner to our nonprofits and then to just share these great stories that uplift and empower our entire community.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really evolving constantly.
It sounds like. It is. Yeah, absolutely. But the space is wonderful. We're located off of McGee Road, and our signage is not so hot. So this is going to tie into Festival of Trees, where funding goes. We desperately need some new signage and directionals to get people into our space. But what we have found is that when people are in need and they need our services, they have no problem finding us. And in fact, I have a big number to share. This number is ended because the housing preservation program that we've been able to assist local residents who've been renting and struggling since COVID have been able to tap into this housing preservation program. And we have been tenant representatives for the past 18 months. And in the past 18 months, we have been able to connect community members to $657,720. And that goes directly to their landlord and kept them from eviction, kept them in their homes, and took a load off during pretty tough times for
them. So that's rent relief and things like that.
Rent relief, yeah.
Or even would it work to get someone into a rental? Because there's the first and last that's almost impossible for some people to come up with. It could be astronomical.
Absolutely. In some instances, it could help with that. The main thing was you had to have a lease to get into the program. But certain landlords and were able to work with us, and we made that happen. And then I just need to address something that is like heavy on my heart. So we hired a resource specialist up in Bonner's Ferry and had her hit the ground running because we learned that this program was ending. She also happens to be my mother-in-law.
Hi, Carol.
Yeah, I hope you're listening. And she was able to sit with over, I think it was like 46 different clients that were up in Bonner's Ferry and get them applied for this program. But the money ran out by the time that we got them applied. And so our hearts are kind of broken because just last month we served 125 people and half of those are not getting the rental assistance that we were hoping for. But we tried. We certainly tried.
So what's the solution to that? I'm sure you're
long-term solution.
Given up, right.
Gosh. Well, I mean, that's just tricky. And that's where the Envision Center, I think, really has a strength is to have its pulse on what all of these other organizations are doing how the progress with the Good Samaritan Inn is going, what's happening with Bonner Homeless Transitions, is there openings at the Bonner Gospel Mission, where can we send people who are in need of emergency housing crisis? And unfortunately, there's not a lot of options out there.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when the need becomes big enough, options form and,
right.
and come about.
Right.
So hopefully someone might be listening right now and say, I know a solution. Solutions are a big part of what you do.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's facilitating conversation, raising awareness, amplifying voices and concerns. And the Festival of Trees, while it seems like a fabulous fundraising, fun holiday opportunity, is also that. So if you come to our Festival of Trees, you're going to notice that this year, many of the trees are sponsored by a local nonprofit. And if they are not, they're sponsored by a business or individual who is connected with a local nonprofit, and 20% of each tree's auction price will go to that nonprofit to support them in their mission.
That sounds like a win-win.
It is 100% a win-win. It is a win-win, and we're thrilled. We would love for KRFY to have a tree next year.
I think we're putting that on our agenda. Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about it, but it sounds like a good one. So the Festival of Trees, tell us how that works. Obviously, it's a fundraiser, and you have quite a few trees here.
Yeah, so we will have 17 trees. And then each of those trees are associated with a nonprofit beneficiary. And like we said, they'll get 20% of that proceed, and also an opportunity to kind of share what their mission is and who they serve and what they're doing to amplify the community impact. So, Becca, you have been here. I've been gone this week. Becca is one of our co-chairs, and she's been out at the fairgrounds making everything happen. So why don't you share what's going on there?
Well, I think I'll start by saying we are so grateful to Kinderhaven Foundation for choosing the Envision Center to sort of carry on this very long-standing tradition in our community of hosting such a holiday event that I think many, many people look forward to. And so we basically, you know, honor and want to do them proud by the event that we put on this year. And when we got this, which was really in the summer, which didn't give us as much planning time as we would have liked, we sort of decided that we would try and hold to the traditional approach to the event this year so that it would be familiar to the community and not be such a radical change. And honestly, we didn't really need to change a whole lot because it obviously was something that worked beautifully. And so we are basically the trees go up for auction. We have 6 other live auction items, some very exciting things like a trip to Nashville for the CMA awards.
I'm just looking at these. They're amazing.
Yeah. They are amazing.
Schweitzer has come through with a beautiful package for us, which we're very excited about, and we know how much local people love that. And we've got sold-out Gonzaga tickets for our Gonzaga fans. So there's a lot of really wonderful things for community members to purchase and to support the Envision Center and the local nonprofits. I think it's such a beautiful thing that we are able to very clearly demonstrate our commitment to all of our nonprofits through this 20% give back.
I think that looking at this is going to be a big deal. When is this happening?
Yeah.
The gala is actually Saturday night, December 2nd. I regret, but not regret, that we are sold out for that event, that particular part of the program. So note to listeners that buy early next year. But really what we're excited about is the Thursday event, which the community, I think, is fairly familiar with the idea of having a friends and family night the Thursday night before our gala. And that's from 4 to 7 on Thursday, the 30th. And that's a time when people can come with their families, visit with Santa, have cookies and cocoa, and just look at all the beautiful trees and just kind of, I guess, kick off the holiday.
Yeah, that is also tomorrow, Becca.
Oh, okay. Wait, November 30th is tomorrow. Oh, gosh. Well, I better get over there. I've got a few things to do before tomorrow.
So that's out at the fairgrounds, and there will be, you can see the beautiful trees. But these,
and they are amazing. I've been watching them go up. It's so fun just to see something like a naked tree just become this work of art.
Kind of have themes to them. Mm-hmm. It probably gets a little competitive in a really fun way.
Oh, I would imagine.
Well, and there's a little something for everybody. You know, there's some beautifully, exotic.
Ornate.
Or, yes, something that would go in a very fancy living room. Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of homemade, you know, a lot of heart put into, and a lot of several children's themed things.
Nice.
So it's kind of seems like that was kind of very popular this year. Sure. Was to focus kind of on children.
So you have 17 trees. We're talking here in the studio of 88.5 KRFY, our community radio station, with Becca Orchard, trustee of CREC, which is also Community Resource and Vision Center, and also Katie Bogalke, the interim director, about a lot of things that this amazing organization is doing. But right now we're also talking about their upcoming event Thursday night. What are the times for the viewing of the trees and the cocoa and Santa?
From 4 to 7. 4 to 7 tomorrow.
Make sure I have
and
that
then I want to make sure also to make a plug for this. There is a first ever gingerbread competition happening, and we have a couple fourth grade, I think 8 different fourth grade classrooms competing for best gingerbread creation. And I have seen several, and I have a favorite. I'm not going to say who my favorite is, but it's looking good. And what I love about this is, so we will vote on that at Friends and Family Night. So if you have a fourth grader, come out to the fairgrounds, vote on your creation. And then we are going to auction that off at the gala. And the winning classroom is going to get the proceeds of that auction item to decide which nonprofit partner they want their money to go to. So we're trying to really instill this philanthropic spirit at a young age and just, bring children along on this magical journey, which is the Festival of Trees and generosity and giving.
Right. So that sounds like a lot of fun. And I did see something on Facebook. One of the fourth grade students were actively making their gingerbread house, and I think that's going to be really fun. And that's tomorrow night. That's Friends and Family. And that, if you want more information, you can also go to crecidaho.org, and I'm sure you have a link to this information. One question I have then about during the Festival of Trees, which is sold out, 17 trees, 20% going to whichever nonprofit is sponsoring that tree, so to speak. When are these auctioned off?
Yeah, so we have 6 non-tree items that are going to be auctioned off in between the trees during that evening of the gala.
So the trees are also auctioned?
Yes, the trees are live auction, as are those 6 packages.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a silent auction going on.
Yes.
Oh, there's more.
We've disguised our silent auction as a Christmas shop. And our thinking was, wouldn't it be lovely if you could do Christmas shopping and give back to the community all in the same purchase? So, the generosity of the community has been amazing. The outpouring of just wonderful, potentially gift items for people to...
Is it an online silent auction, or is it
nope, it's
visual?
part of the gala.
Oh, so you'd have to have... tickets to the gala.
Yes, yes.
But if you have a friend that's going and you didn't get your tickets, you can say, hey, will you bid on this thing for me?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Maybe we'll find some time today to tease some of those items online and on Facebook so folks can...
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you guys have your hands full in the next few days. I'm glad you're back from Wisconsin.
Me too.
But it's fun. I wish everybody could... have a bird's eye view of what goes on in preparation for these things, because there's such a spirit. You have all these groups of people coming in to decorate their trees, and they're so proud of what they're creating, and it's really fun to be a part of it.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing to note here is that we are, again, just so grateful for Kinderhaven for this opportunity to have a platform to showcase what we're doing and to let our community know who we are. We've really been challenged with that. I think the name change from the Sandpoint Community Resource Center to becoming the Envision Center and also moving locations, people are still getting to know who we are. And while we've had absolutely no problem serving our clients, we have had a problem getting the community to know us. So this platform is just a great opportunity for us to get what we do out there so that when people see a neighbor in need, they know to refer them to us.
I think it's a definitely growing thing. So quickly, this Festival of Trees, too bad you couldn't like video this because it's, how many people, how many tickets did you sell to that?
To the gala?
Yeah, the gala.
210.
Okay, so it was limited. Is it going to be food?
It's limited by the space.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. With all the trees and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the list of your sponsors also. You want to give a shout out to any of them?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we wouldn't have trees if it wasn't for Ting. So a huge, huge round of applause.
They provide the trees.
They sponsored the trees, so we have a, you know, the backbone for all these beautiful ornaments and decorations to go on. ELTC Law Group is a huge partner for us. They've always been in our corner. Lighthouse is doing a lovely tree and a sponsorship. Elevate Now Consulting is sponsoring some of our packages. Zipley Fiber, Kinixu. Kinixu's been enormous. Also, I want to thank Kinixu. They opened their doors up in Bonner's Ferry for us to do our rural resource outreach. And
this is Kinixu Health.
Kinixu Health. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I should have. Yes.
There's Kinixu a lot of
Health
Kinixu
Services.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're near and dear to my heart. So there's one in my mind.
And I want to shout out for Olivia Luther, who Absolutely. Is my co-chair and would be here, except that she's very busy. At the fairground.
Yeah.
That's her thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a lot coming up. Thank you for coming in today. Anything else you'd like to add to this picture? I love the fact that you're really keenly aware that Kinderhaven handing this off to you where you can actually spread the good news and the wealth, so to speak, and the services has, you know, that you've mentioned that a couple times, and that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just so excited, one, that we have this to build upon. I think everybody should keep their eyes on what happens next year, because it's only going to grow and become more of a community event as this takes off. But it's special. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, enough to say. Go to the website. This is a resource in our community that has only just begun, even though you've been doing it, and serving people and making a difference. And so the Community Resource Envision Center, we'll just call it the Envision Center, is accessible by a lot of different ways. Do you have a phone number if people wanted to call?
We absolutely do. that is a number that should be memorized.
208-920-1840.
Thank you. Yeah, and then, you know, I just wanted to say, too, that, you know, there's not one profile that we serve. We really have an array of people that walk through our doors. And so I just wanted to kind of share a breakdown of who those clients are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 10% of our clients are veterans, 14% are homeless, 23% are employed, so working and having a hard time making ends meet. 23% are disabled, 33% of our clients have children, 43% are seniors, and a lot of them are taking care of their grandchildren, and 67% of our clients are women. So we have a lot of single ladies coming through our doors, and we're just supporting everyone and anybody that we can with whatever need it is. And I would also love to just thank Angela Barber, who is our resource specialist and rock star, who just shows up every single day with the heart to serve and sits with people, looks them in the eye, hears their story, helps connect them, and then follows up. And she's just been tremendous, especially with this HPP housing resource. So,
wow. I just think for those that are listening, that you've received a small picture of what the Community Resource and Vision Center does is vital. It's important. So, gals, Becca and Katie, thanks so much for coming in today. Mm-hmm. And anytime, just call me ahead of time. We'll find a spot for you. Yeah. There's a lot going on. We want to be one of your resources also.
Thank you, Susie.
Yep, you betcha.